according to most Rishonim, it means Rashi at the end, it's a little problematic to this Rashi, because we think of what the Rishonim of Rashi means. Yeah, what Rabbi Gamliel means is even a person that has the facility to daven, but if he comes to the Beis HaKnesses, he can listen to the Shliach Tzibur, he doesn't actually have to daven himself. He can listen to the Shliach Tzibur. So, Gemara says the following, Omar Rav Acha Bar Avir Omar Rav Shimon Chassid, Poi Tohor Yor Rabbi Gamliel Afilu Am Shebesodos. Even the Am Shebesodos, meaning the people that were engaged in agriculture, they were not in the urban area, and as such, they were not in proximity to the Beis HaKnesses, and they couldn't attend the Beis HaKnesses. So Rabbi Gamliel says that his tefillah suffices to be a tefillah for them as well, which really is the parallel, and I found also in the Rishonim this parallel, because that was the nature of the Karbonos. The tefillahs correspond to the Karbonos. We brought a Korban Tzibur in Yerushalayim. I didn't bring a Korban Tzibur. David Kirshner didn't bring it, Mark Frankel didn't bring it, the Kohen brought it for all of us, and yet that impacted for all of us. So a tefillah recited by the Shliach Tzibur as the representative of the community can impact for everybody. So Gemara wants to know why it says afilu am shebesodos, which would seem to be that's the least logical possibility, and therefore he's telling me even to that extent. So the Gemara says, so you're telling me what you're implying is, in other words, not only the ones that are here, but that doesn't work for, in other words, the ones that simply stated, the ones that are in the city and don't come to the Beis HaKnesses, the Shliach Tzibur helps for, but you're telling me, even Am Shavasodis, the guys that are out of town in the rural areas, they can't even get to the shul, so even them. So the Gemara says, Adrabah. The opposite is true. The guys that are in the city ought to have the responsibility to at least to show up in shul. Maybe it suffices if they listen to the Shliach Tzibur's rendering of the tefillah and answer amen to each of the brachas, as we would typically do by kiddush and every other bracha, but they are participants in the process. But the Am Shebesodos, we would understand that they would be exempt. And you're telling me, well, it's poshet that the guys in the city are exempt, even though they could have come to the Beis HaKnesses. But the Am Shebesodos, I'm not so sure. Rabbi Gamliel even went that far. So that's not true. And the Gemara says, why? Why would he say that? Hani andisa, hani lo andisa. It should be the ones that are in the rural area don't have the opportunity to come. So it's logical that the Shliach Tzibur's tefillah should cover for them as the Kohen's carbon covers for us. But the guys that are living in town, they live down the block from the shul, why in the world didn't they show up? So if anything, you want to tell me it's a chiddush that he could be mispalo for them too. But the Am Shebesodos is the easier of the two. And the Gemara points out that this chiluk between sometimes you're covered by a tefillah or a brocha because you have no other way of accessing the brocha. But if you have the means of accessing the brocha, then you have to show up the right way. Because what do we find? It's the Tony Abba Bereid Rabbi Nyomer Bar Chia. Abba, the son of Rabbi Nyomer Bar Chia, you have a halacha, and you note it in action. Most of you probably know what it means, why it's done. If you note, but a brichas kayanim, that the first row or two of the shul empties out, downstairs and upstairs. What's the reason for that? I mean, the kayanim are not so frightening that you have to run out of the first row, just the kayanim are giving a brocha. But the halacha is that you have to be at least on the side of the kayan to be mekabel the brocha. If you're behind the kayan, then you cannot be mekabel the brocha. You have to be at the side or fully face to face with him. So the Tana Abba Bereid Rabbi Nyamun Rechia, Am Shachere Koyanim, Einam Bechlau Brocha. If you stand and you're standing behind the Koyan, you're against the Mizrach wall and you're behind the Koyan, then you don't get the Koyan's Brocha. But the guy that's stuck, that couldn't make it to Shul, he gets the Koyan's Brocha. So we see that the guy that has the opportunity to show up, he has to do it the way he's supposed to. We don't cut him any slack. It's only the slack is for the guy that can't make it. So why are you telling me, well, the guys that could show up, yeah, they're covered. But you know something? Rabbi Gamliel really went to town, and he said even the guys that can make it. It's the other way around. The guys that can make it is logical. If the guys that can make it, that's indeed quite questionable. So the Gemara says, Ki osu rav an omar of Yachnu aridi omar of Shimon chasido, that he botched up the first rendering. This was not what Rav Shimon chasido said. But he actually says, Rapota rav Gamliel ela am shabesodis. Only the guys that can show up are exempted by this. My time of Shem Da'anisa b'Melocha. you have a job and they have to earn a living, and they're just at the hour at the Beis HaKnesses, they can't afford to be sitting in the Beis HaKnesses and running out to the field 2 hours later, you know, to go to work. I will be here low. If you're in town, there's no excuse. Then you have to show up actually in the Beis HaKnesses, and at least according to most Rishonim, listen to the Shliach Tzibur recite the Tefillah. But you actually have to listen. So this was what Rabbi Gamliel was saying. Rabbi Gamliel was saying that if you are incapable of coming, then the Shliach Tzibur's Tefillah is a Tefillah for you, even if you don't hear a word. But if you have the ability to make it to the Beis HaKnesses, then you actually have to show up in the Beis HaKnesses and listen to his Tefillah. And I think there's a tremendous limud in what the Gemara is saying. If we want to actually go forward, what the Rebbeinu Shlom wants of us is that we should go forward. We should not stagnate. If you tell a person, listen, I'll give you a job, you're 25 years old, I'll pay you well, but know one thing, you're not going to advance not a penny and not an authority for the next 40 years. But you're guaranteed a job, I'll pay you for the next 40 years till you're 65, but you will have not one more penny than you're making today, and no more responsibilities than you have today, right? You're absolutely stagnant, so you go nuts. The Rebbeinu Shlom wants us not to stagnate. Now, not to stagnate means that we have to take the opportunities that we have. The Amshu B'Sodas, okay, listen, what could the guy do? He can't participate in the tefillah. Circumstances in life don't allow him. But if you have the opportunity, you can't stay home. You have to take that step. I've been reading an Elul, the biography of Rav Shlomo Freifeld, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha. Zechisi to meet him either two or three times. Two times I remember, maybe there was a third time. I may have mentioned I was in the 10th grade of Masifta Chaim Berlin, who was in Far Rockaway that year. And he came once or twice to say a shmooze to Asher. Once I remember, and I have a feeling there was a second time, but one time I'm absolutely sure about. I was 14 years old at the time, and he was just, there was just something magnetic about the man. When he spoke, you were mesmerized. You heard what he said. What he said touched your soul. Just was something, I can't tell you what it was, I don't know. And I met him one other time in a more informal setting. I had a meeting with Rav Hutner, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, private meeting with him, and Rav Freifeld was there. So it was a very friendly and warm meeting. That's the two times that I remember him. I have a feeling that he might have said a shmooze one more time to our share that year. So he writes the following. He writes, there's a rather well-known incident in Shar Yoshev. It's somewhere around circa 1970, approximately. I don't know exactly, but a little before then, that Bob Dylan showed up for a Sheva Brochus in Yeshiva. And Rav Freifeld told his Talmidim that they have to treat him like everybody else. Nobody can ask for his autograph, no adulation. He's a regular joker. We're not, you know, putting him on any pedestal because he's a famous, you know, star. And Kachoya, when Rav Freifeld spoke, and something about the way Rav Freifeld spoke, he used to come after that for quite a while to see and speak privately to Rav Freifeld. This was his rabbi. Then he decided he wants to come to the yeshiva. So he told Rav Freifeld, listen, the money I have, money's not an object in my life, I'm successful. So he wanted to rent an apartment or a house in Long Beach, and he would commute to the yeshiva every day. So Rav Freifeld told him, no. You have to first come and spend 3, 6 months, whatever, or a good number of months in yeshiva itself. After that, once you're well settled and integrated, if you want to live outside the yeshiva, I'll let you. But now you have to live in yeshiva. And Dylan could not make that step, and he never came. And I know it's what came across in the book, and that was the mashmos from others that I heard, that Rav Freifeld held that to advance in Ruchnius, and he needed a major, you know, to pull out of the world that he was in so deeply enmeshed in, he needed to take a step. If he didn't take a step, it would never work. He had to push himself a little bit, you know, out of his comfort zone. If he did, then there was hope that Rav Freifeld would be able to reach him and make something of him in his life. But Bob Dylan, he said, was, you know, I know one of my chaverim told me that Rav Freifeld said he was too caught up in the tumah of Olam Hazeh, you know, to be able to take the step. But this yisoid, that we need to take a step to be able to advance, and a little bit outside our comfort zone, that's what Rabbi Gamliel is saying. The Am Shemesod is Nebuch, they can't make it, what are we going to do? But you live down the block. You got to show up. It's hard, it's difficult, but you got to show up. You have to make that step if you want to increase your connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the yisoid of Tefillah. The yisoid of Tefillah is to augment and enhance our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu day by day. If you want to do it, you're staying home and doing it. You have to take that step. You have to have that commitment. You have to put yourself into the Beis HaKnesses. You listen to the Chazan Daven, it's fine. But you came, you showed up, and you listened to the Tefillah. You took that step. Something can happen. You know, Rabbi Yehuda says this in his own way in Shari Tshuva, and in the parish of Rabbi Yehuda and Ovis. On the famous Mishnah, Ein Ani Li Mi Li, Kosh Ani La'atzmi Mo Ani. So the Rabbi Yehuda says the following: that Ein Ani Li Mi Li, I could go, I can hear the greatest orator in the world, and be moved tremendously and inspired by him. But if I go home and leave it at that point, in 3 days it's all over. There'll be nothing left of it. The only way that inspiration is significant is if I actually take a step within myself. I take with the inspiration that came from outside and it brings forth a response from me. I'm going to do something about it. That's the only way that a person could advance. If I just want to live in the high of the inspiration, listen, like every other high in the world, you know? Light up a moment, what do you want? You Percocet, is that your thing? Marijuana is your thing? Heroin? Whatever it is. Tomorrow morning, you wake up like everybody else, you know? It's gone. It's over. You have inspiration. Inspiration is for a moment. By tomorrow, it's gone. I once heard of Chaim Shmulevitz at Tzal, in Toshin Lamed Gimel, from Pesach through the end of the summer's man, I used to go to every Friday night. He spoke in his house. And I used to go with the Chavar of Marn of Yehuda Jacobs, and we used to walk together from Chovetz Chaim after Mincha. And then we walked to the Mir, and he spoke in his house. There were about 20, 25 people there, including Rav Nochum, Zecher Tzadik L'Vrocha. And then we went to Davar Marav in the Mir, and then we would come back. So one Friday night, he talked about Rav Goron Ksuvis, that Reb Shimon ben Yochai was in the middle of Sheva Brochus, and a chaver of his got married in the same town. And Reb Shimon ben Yochai's Sheva Brochus was going to end like 2 or 3 days before this other fellow Sheva Brochus. And they had to travel to Yeshiva. So this fellow asked Reb Shimon ben Yochai, that, listen, do me a favor, wait for me, and we'll travel together. And Reb Shimon ben Yochai didn't wait. He set off. And I think it says that, you know, as they were learning, he never quite caught up to Rav Shimon ben Yochai. That's the Gemara. So the Maram Shiv says in that Gemara, he says, I don't know what this Gemara teaches me. So Chaim Shmulevitz said, don't know what this Gemara teaches me. I learned an awful lot from this Gemara. That Rav Shimon ben Yochai was inspired. He went off for many years to learn. But that's what he felt today. In 2 days from now, what's he going to feel? We think we're going to feel the same way, but life is not that way. Today I'm fiery about it. I'm ready to conquer the world. Tomorrow, I'm only here for ready to conquer the world, but the day after, I threw in the towel already. So of course he had to go. So Chaim Shmulevitz said, the Pshat and the Maram Shiv is exactly the opposite. To the Maram Shiv, this was so self-evidently true. What do I need a Gemara to tell it to me? That was the Maram Shiv's problem. Inspiration lasts for a moment. Faster than we can blink our eye, it's gone. What do we have to do with inspiration? So in the world of the literature of Bali Musar and in the world of Chassidus, in the Derech HaDarkei Avodah, both worlds came to the same conclusion. At the moment of inspiration, I actually have to jump on it and implement it. I have to do something about it. If I implement it, I do something in my life because of that inspiration. I'm going to do something that I didn't do until now. And I fight with dogged determination to hold on to it, he says, then I'll get someplace. But if I squander the moment, it's not only that I've lost the moment, But I've even gone backwards because I've squandered an opportunity, which is bad. And the next time I have inspiration, I'll be cynical. I remember the last time. Nothing came of it. So what's going to come of it this time? Yeah, the Vilna Gaon came to town, you know, last year. And what did I change? I'm the same me. So the Vilna Gaon came this down. I hear his brush. I'll be the same me next year, too. So we become cynics about ourselves if we don't act. So that's Rabbi Gamliel. Am Shabbosodos, no, what could you do? Nebuch, they don't have the opportunity to come. But a person that can show up, he can take the step. How do you not take the step? The halacha doesn't cut you slack for that. You have to take the step, Rabbi Yisai. And that's really to connect the beginning and the end of the Masechta. That's really, I think, the whole idea. We have Arba Rosh Hashanah here. There's Rosh Hashanah for Maaseh Behemoth and this and that, all types of things. All Rosh Hashanah for Malachim. I think that the bottom line, what the Masechta is telling me with all the Rosh Hashanahs, time keeps moving. Yeah, I did Maaseh Behemoth last year. Oops, I'm doing it again. Oops, I'm doing it again. I was involved with the year for Maaseh. When the Maaseh started, Tu B'Shvat, oops, it's the next Tu B'Shvat, it's the next Tu B'Shvat, it's the next Tu B'Shvat. I've been here before. And then there's the ultimate one, is the one that we've spent now time discussing, is the Rosh Hashanah of, for us. Yeah, I've been to Rosh Hashanah once and twice and three times, more times than I want to think about. More times than I want to think about, you know. Can I tell you, Rabbi, I look back, you know, a few years ago, I met a guy who works for the Jewish Heritage Center. And so his uncles, our great uncles, were a family Stein in East New York that lived in Ashford Street. So he told me, I remember one of them was a plumber, the one George Stein, a family of plumbers. And they lived right across the street from the shul. I was about 7 years old. I don't think it was before 1960. Somewhere, I don't know exactly. I was about 7 years old, maybe 8 years old. And the davening, Rabbi, so I'll tell you how the davening went in East New York. Was an all balabatim shul. I mean, there were very, very few people, very nice from Yidden, but almost no one that knew what a piece of Gemara was about in that shul. Almost. The davening went on Rosh Hashanah from 8 to 2 on the first day of Yom Tov with no break and no speech. And the second day I went from 8 to 1:30 with no break and no speech. That was Rosh Hashanah davening. That's the way it was. But I was a little kid. And at a certain point, I wasn't feeling so well from all of this. And so I went across the street. It was the family that lived right across the street, the Stein's, Max Stein, I think was his name, yeah. And I made Kiddush in his house, and I had a little cake and whatever, and I came back revived. So, you know, stop and think, that's a long time ago. It didn't happen yesterday. So a lot of Rosh Hashanahs under the bridge since then. So I think that's the notion of our Rosh Hashanah, is to realize, you know, there are markers in time. Time is not, you know, they're not born and all of a sudden it's 80 years later. We're reminded there are markers in time. Things happen at certain times. And when that time comes, yeah, I was there last year and the year before, and all of a sudden it's next year, it's another year that I'm there. We need the inspiration, Rabbi Yisai, to seize the moment. To seize the moment. And to commit ourselves, every one of us, to something that we haven't done until now. Whatever it is. Something that we haven't done until now. I'll daven tefillah b'tzibur more, I'll learn more, whatever, but something that I haven't done until now, I'm going to do. And this is a propitious day. You know, we don't normally have a Simchas Beis HaShoeva on Hashanah Rabbah. But Tayezah was a Siyam, and we had difficulty with the night, and the Rabbi Shalom was kind. If we made it last night, we would have been in trouble. So, the Rabbi Shalom gave his approval. But to celebrate a Siyam is the realization that we accomplished something in learning. It took a while, you know, but we got someplace. Something was accomplished. Our problem is we need to begin, and I'll tell you the other thing that Rav Reifeld Zatzal said. He's told his Talmidim, he said, all of you guys, you're 20 years old and you're a bunch of cynics, you think you can't change. He says, I have a gray beard, and I'm the youngest guy in the room, because I still think I could change. We have to believe in ourselves, or what you say. Here, we're Baruch Hashem at the end of a Masechta. We started little by little by little by little, but we got there. We have something to show for it. Whatever we start, if we have determination, will have something at the other end to show for it. It will not be in vain. But we have to be willing to start, and we have to believe in ourselves that we could do something. If we put those two things together, we don't know how much we can accomplish in this world. So that, Rabbi Yisrael, that's the nature of the Siyam. The Siyam is to note that Baruch Hashem, we started a Masechta, finished a Masechta, Baruch Hashem. We are more knowledgeable about many things, including Rosh Hashanah, than we ever were before. So we have what to show for it. So Be'ezus Hashem and Parshas Noach, we're going to start Yuma. It's a good time to join. And in a certain regard, it's a very, very special Masechta Yuma. It is the most special day of the year, Yom Kippur, without any doubt. And to understand all the Torahs of Yom Kippur, it's a different Yom Kippur, to understand all its Torah. So, those are the thoughts that I wanted to share with you upon the occasion of the Siyam. We'll do the Hadra now and the Kaddish. But what I'm really asking, Hoshana Rabbah, I said Hoshana Rabbah is propitious for it, because Hoshana Rabbah is the time that the Din of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur gets implemented. Then they send the orders out. You know, the jury has spoken, but the judge still has to sign the papers, and you know, turn them over to the marshals, whatever, to implement it. That's what happens in Hoshana Rabbah. The Shtukah Machlokes and the Zohar, there's different mashmos, and one place in the Zohar it seems it happens in the day of Hoshana Rabbah itself, and one place it seems it's on the eve, tomorrow night, in the eve of Shmini Atzeres. So that's beyond my ability to know how to straighten out if it is a machlokes, to some means of reconciling it, but the Zohar does give, in fact, conflicting impressions. So this is a good time, as they're about as the Ilas Ashar, as the gates are closing, it's a good time to jump in and say, Rabbeinu Shalom, you know, I have a few nischusim to put up on the board. So, you know, even at that point, you know, you can ameliorate the din. Whatever happened until now, but until the judge hands down sentence, you know, there's still some hope. You know, can't know what happens. There's a guy I know who embezzled an awful lot of money. What happened, I don't know, but he wound up with one day in jail and the rest in a halfway house. Don't ask me how. I haven't the foggiest idea. But Kolzman, the sentence wasn't given. Still hope. You know, whatever the factors looked like until now, but the judge, you know, the judge can fix it up for you. So if we throw in a few new schusim now, Beis Nila Shar, so we can, the Rabbeinu Shalom will be inclined, you know. You know, you come, you go, if you have to ever appear before David, come at 10 o'clock in the morning. That's what they've studied. If you come before lunch or before that 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you're in trouble. But at 10 o'clock in the morning, but the Rabbeinu Shalom doesn't go weary. So even though it's Beis Nila Shar, we can still get Rachman from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I invite each one of you to participate more in the Shabbos share, the easiest time of the week in a certain regard, with the least distracted by other responsibilities. Good, we want to be with our family, but an hour to learn does not disrupt our family life. But yeah, it's a discipline, like everything else. We get used to it. You know, my father, Olam HaSholem, I've told this many times, you know, approaching his 44th yard site. So he used to get up 4:45 every day. So I once said to him, you know, Tal, you're supposed to sleep more on Shabbos. He says, what do you want I do? He says, I get up at 5:30. You know, and he would sit and learn. He was a balabas. He'd sit and learn Mishnayos, Bimah v'Sedra. And then somewhere it's about 7:45, you go down to shul for an hour share before davening. And then in an hour before mincha, went to another share by a different rav. It's a question of discipline. If we make the commitment, Rabbi Yisai, we'll reap the benefits. Hardun aloch yom tov slikolo mesechta Rosh Hashanah. Hardun aloch yom tov slikolo mesechta Rosh Hashanah. Hardun aloch yom tov slikolo mesechta Rosh Hashanah. We actually have, okay. Hardon Allah Masech Rosh Hashanah Vadroch Alon, Baitan Allah Masech Rosh Hashanah Vadaitan Rosh Alon, and Nashi Allah Masech Rosh Hashanah Vadaitan Rosh Alon, and Nashi Allah Masech Rosh Hashanah Vadaitan Rosh Alon, and Nashi Allah Masech Rosh
Yeah. Full service.
Before we dive in Marav, this Shabbos of Donald Goldstein is going to start sitting Shiva, and he needs a minion at 3 o'clock. So if anybody can make a mincha at 3 so we can do the Sefer Torah 3 times, please let me know. And also Marav of Motzi Shabbos.
Address.
Well, if you come to me, I'll 3 o'clock mincha
on Shabbos,
day, and then on the Marav we're going to need people also. So if anybody,
Marav will be about 10 minutes approximately after the Shul Marav.
After the Shul Marav. So if we can make it, if you're going to be up that time, it really be appreciated. Yeah. And some people are now. So.
Oh.
Okay, we're going to dive in Marav. We dive in Sukkot. Sukkot. Okay. Anybody need the sitter? If you don't have a smartphone, if you do have a smartphone and you prepare.
Yeah, why not?
No, he went back to a great adventure with
awesome.
His friend. Yeah, that was great. No one was there. It was empty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is like, because there's no non-Jews, and only, I guess,
but
I don't know.
But he's
I don't
Paris come out.
He said he went on every ride.
Really?
Just walked
no
through.
No Jew power to, but your name
I remember I went years ago. With
yeah, them. I would never go there near on a whole night.
But if it's on a Sunday, then we got the manjas. But for whatever
yeah.
Reason.
Yeah.
I get this.
Yeah.
That's the good thing. Ron here in charge
now. Yeah.
Oh,
nice. Have
a
guess for
the
snake
zebra.
numbers that there are?
That way.
I'm going to go to the hospital.
The Shal Shittis in the Shul on Shabbos. If anybody wants to take some chairs out to the Alan, get the cars outside.
Where does it go?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Chairs like 2 months ago.
Oh, already, you ordered them?
Month
oh.
Ago, yeah.
How many did we order?
140.
Okay.
And they were supposed to come in and come in and come in and come. Turned out they were out of although they were in stock, it was they were out of stock. They were waiting for them to come in. Finally came in. When they finally came in, I said, the only time we don't want shipment is whatever, this week.
Yeah.
Between whatever, the beginning of whatever.
Right.
You know. So they're supposed to be delivered next week. Sometime between Monday and Thursday, I told them. It was fine. Got a call this afternoon from trucking company. We have a shipment for you. And apparently they had another number. I gave them Sarah's number too. Just apparently they called. I tried getting in touch with Sarah and I never gotten to it. Anyway, so apparently Sarah told her the school's closed. There's nobody there. I got the message. I called them back. And I said, the 1 week that it was arranged, I said, there's nobody in the building. It's school there and it's closed this week. I hate to float around or whatever. I said, let me check if I can by chance get access to the building and if there are people told if there are people don't know. So I called the Rav. The Rav said we shouldn't take delivery in front of the shul on Holmoid.
Oh,
yeah.
Really? Oh, wow.
And fine. So I called them back and I said, we just can't there. I said, I was told that there's stuff going in the room. We have no place to put them and then the school's coming back Monday morning. It all matters. I said, fine, we'll hold them until.
Uh-huh.
On the way over here, I got a call from the company that we bought it from. They said, Alan, I can't believe what I just heard. We got a call from the trucking company to get this stuff. They were just shipped either yesterday or the day before from Georgia. It usually takes them a week to 10 days to deliver all over the place, all over the country.
Yeah, they got
10 days.
In a shorter amount of time than normal?
Yeah, yeah. Either one day or 2 days that it got here. And they said, I just want to double check. She said, we're going to get storage charges. And I said, she said to me, it's not your problem, it's our problem.
Right.
But if there would be any way of getting them in, we'd prefer to avoid. I just asked her over again. I said, we should leave it for Monday.
Okay.
Just get enough Monday. So there are truckers that do it. I've had truckers before that. A trucker that sent shipments from a couple of times in California.
Yeah.
And the same company from Texas once, which got here, they shipped on Friday and I got it Monday. They go through the... If they really drive through the night or whatever, I guess they change drivers on the way.
All right.
You bring the car anyway.
All right, so thank you. You should get people to help you on the other side.
Just leave it there. I'll pull up there.
My family is obviously with me.
What's that? Where did you go?
Caesar.
She goes to the popcorn business. Pop Sanity.
Yeah. You did that Pop Sanity?
Yeah.
You did not buy Pop Sanity.
I should buy Pop Sanity?
What? $10 for a little bit?
I didn't realize that stuff. I didn't believe it. I have to check that. Are you have a car? You drive?
Yeah, I drove. You have a shopping bag? David, you sure you don't want the knife?
Yeah,
she was going to
get home.
Thanks, David.
You want to bring the drink all the drinks to the kitchen?
Sure. You want some bread?
No. Oh, really? Yeah, 30 people for a minion? Wow.
Oh. Yeah, anybody?
You should have told me a Shaughnessy on the plane.
You should have shown a job membership.
We were talking about building fun.
He was at the
closest
farm. You live over here. For being the closest shul. For being the closest shul?
For Kew Gardens Hill standards.
For a closest shul. Not for a shul.
Thank you.
People down
here. Good job. Good
job. Good job. Good job.
Yeah, no, we're talking about
It's early for you.
Yeah, well, the meeting actually started around 9:45.
And what time did you get down? What time did you get down? What time did you get down? What time did you get down?
When did I get down?
You were not early because your father's up early.
I know.
He's really getting
you know, you know all that stuff they say before Shmona Esrei.
I know. It's so cool. Like all these things. I didn't remember they were there. You know, I was like, what? I sat down with my father and said, let me see what's in this book.
You know? So how much do I have to pay to go home?
Like, you're coming for, you're going to be
Yoga for... Yes, they're just going to drive you. You're still in New York. You're not in Israel. It was like a rough answer.
Is it good then? 91, isn't it? Yeah.
Right. Thank you guys for jumping
up. Thank you. No, it wasn't that far of a travel. But he thinks sometimes that when he comes here that he's glad
to come. It was in those garden apartments, sir.
Best way to get people to this